Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tafwai. As Iran and the U.S. are preparing for nuclear talks later this month, the notion of bilateral talks as a possibility between Iran and the U.S. has been thrown about, such as by the U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden recently. Iran's leader, meanwhile, has rejected talks with the U.S., a word to be under pressure and threats. In this debate, we'll examine the possibility of such talks and whether a thaw is on the horizon.
Ayatollah Sayed Ali Khamenei has met with a group of Iranian Air Force personnel on the occasion of the 34th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution devoted a major part of his address to the latest U.S. sanctions against Iran and Washington's recent calls for talks with Tehran. Ayatollah Khamenei dismissed the U.S. offer of negotiations as senseless, while Washington keeps pressuring and threatening Iran.
حالا اخیراً آمریکایی‌ها باز مسئله مذاکره رو پیش کشیدند. تکرار می‌کنند که آمریکا آماده است با ایران مذاکره مستقیم بکند. این تازگی نداره. مسئله مذاکره رو آمریکایی‌ها در هر مقطعی تکرار کرده اند. حالا امروز نو به میدان آمده ها مجددا تکرار میکنن که مذاکره کنیم و میگن توپ در زمین ایران است. توپ در زمین شماست. شما هستید که باید پاسخگو باشید. شما هستید که باید بگید مذاکره همراه با فشار و تهدید چه معنایی دارد؟ مذاکره برای اثبات حسن نیت است. شما 10 کار انجام می‌دهید که حاکی از سوء نیت است، اون وقت به زبان میگید مذاکره. توقع دارید ملت ایران قبول کنند که شما حسن نیت دارید؟
Ayatollah Khamenei added that the U.S. is insisting on holding talks with Iran because it needs a trump card to compensate for its failed Middle Eastern policy. Iran's leader said the U.S. is paying lip service to the idea of talks, using them as a tactical measure and a tool to pretend it is a superpower. Ayatollah Khamenei said the U.S. has pointed a gun at the Iranian nation and is saying, negotiate or we'll shoot. The leader, however, noted that Iran has always been willing to hold talks with those who have hatched no plots against the nation. Elsewhere, Ayatollah Khamenei referred to the conspiracies of Iran's adversaries. He said the enemies have exerted all their efforts to disappoint the Iranian people, but to no avail.
The speech was very clear. This is not a denial of talks, but it's basically an alert that Iran is not willing to talk under pressure, which is very legitimate for a country, as I said, as a proud country, and in spite of a very harsh embargo, still plays a very important role in the Middle East.
The leader's comments come a day after the U.S. announced new sanctions against the Iranian oil sector and media outlets. Just a few days earlier, Washington had called for direct talks with Tehran. The U.S. has spearheaded many rounds of Western sanctions against Tehran in recent years. Iran has repeatedly said it will not give up its rights under pressure.
Let's get this debate going. Let me introduce our guest, political commentator Mark Dankoff, joins us from San Antonio, Texas. We have a former U.S. diplomat, George Lambrakis, who joins us from London. And here in the studios, Press TV's Hamid Reza Ahmadi joins us. Gentlemen, welcome. I'd like to first start with you, Mark Dankoff. It started with this statement by the U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden at the Munich Security Conference. We'd be prepared to meet bilaterally. We would not keep it a secret if there is an agenda, if Iran is sincere. Shouldn't the question be whether the U.S. is sincere or should it be the other way around?
Well, I think the question is clearly whether or not the United States government is sincere. And given Joe Biden's long standing with the Israeli lobby, I think it's very clear what's going on here. The fact of the matter is that Congressman Ron Paul of Texas is correct, that whether you're looking at the economic sanctions, you're looking at the cyber warfare, You're looking at the assassinations of these Iranian nuclear scientists and all the rest of it. The United States has been engaged ongoingly in a series of acts of war up to this point against the Iranian government that are being facilitated by the Israeli lobby and by Benjamin Netanyahu and by their control of the American politicians who up to this point have been pursuing these policies. I think the American people increasingly are beginning to question what's going on here. And it may be that what Biden is talking about is an indication that the American resolve to pursue another war on Israel's behalf is beginning to weaken.
Amir Zahmadi, let me ask you about what Iran's leader has said. He has come out and made a statement saying basically that, American policy in the Middle East, and I'm quoting him, has been destroyed and Americans now need to play a new card. That card is dragging Iran into negotiations. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, America has pretty much lost in the Middle East. Just look at the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Look how America gave Iraq to Iran, how America did not solve any problems in Afghanistan. The situation in Afghanistan is getting worse day in, day out, and they have this person in Afghanistan in charge, Mr. Karzai. And very lately he's been speaking against the Americans, their presence in Afghanistan. He says the situation was much better. Afghans were much better off before Americans invaded Afghanistan. The situation in Syria, the situation in other parts of the Middle East, America did not manage to create any kind of breakthrough in the Israeli-Palestinian issue. So the U.S. has failed in policies that it has been pursuing in the Middle East region, and it does need Iran to help. And it does need to tell the world that, yes, America has failed in other spheres, but it has managed somehow to bring Iran to the negotiating table. But as long as this kind of offering direct talks by the United States is coming with more pressure and sanctions against the Iranian nation, it's not going to work. Iran is not going to talk with the U.S. under pressure. That's something that Iran has said it over and over again, and Iran has made it very much clear, and it is very much clear.
George Lambrakis, then why is it that it's being portrayed otherwise in the media, the Western media mainly? And we were looking at how the U.S. has conducted himself in terms of the negotiations. Well, I mean, what are we looking at? Escalating covert operations, cyber warfare, economic warfare, not to mention. Is that the strategy? Isn't that what the U.S. has done? And then comes out and the VP of the U.S. saying bilateral talks is something that we're ready to have?
I don't recognize anything that has been said either about American policy or about American politics by either of the two people who have spoken. My understanding of how international negotiations take place is you stop attacking people before you go into the negotiation. You try to have a degree of trust. And if you are a government, as the Iranian government is, worrying about people attacking from all directions, paranoid about being attacked, you have to think about looking at how you yourself are approaching negotiations. No one should have to force anyone into negotiations. Iran has had negotiations in the past, but nothing has come of it. Iran is continuing to go the way it was despite these negotiations. I think Iranians must realize that the United States, Israel, the rest of the world is not out to get them. What they want is the Iranians to stop trying to mess up the situation in the Middle East by attacking orally Israel, by supporting Hezbollah, Hamas, by attacking Sunni governments, by attacking the United States as a great evil in the world. All of this comes from the fear that the United States and others want to overturn the government of Iran, which is no longer the case.
Well, it's been the United States that's been attacking countries in the Middle East. The United States attacked Afghanistan. The United States attacked Iraq. The United States is the one that is creating chaos in the Middle East. The United States is the one that is trying to help Israel in every possible way. The United States has
what
been,
is the I common,
think that's the core problem.
The
United States has
here?
Been held hostage to Israel. Israel has held Americans hostage. And that's why Americans cannot make any decision independently. Even if the Americans talk about talks with Iran, because they have to do what the Israelis are telling them to do, they can't succeed. The talks do not make any sense as long as Americans cannot make a decision independently of Israel. So talks for talks'
sake
doesn't make any
speaking.
Sense. Americans cannot go
sure
into any
speaking,
direct talks with Iran as long
you,
as they want to put pressure.
You will just stop
they want to
speaking.
Create a situation where they can't, there can't be any talks with good faith.
Go ahead,
saying
George
something Lamarcus. Doesn't make it true. Saying something doesn't make it true. The fact that your last speaker, I don't know who he is, was making this great rhetorical attack on the United States. There is a common denominator about Iraq and Afghanistan. Both of those countries were showing themselves to be dangerous to the United States. So the United States reacted. The United States is powerful enough to be able to react. What you should stop trying to
but
do.
But the United States has failed in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a failed state
I'm
right now.
I'm glad that you're allowing me to finish speaking because I see that whoever you are, you seem to have a point of view that you're not particularly interested in negotiations. You're not particularly interested in seeing where this is going to come out. You're only interested in using propaganda in programs.
Well,
like
whoever
this
disagrees with you is using propaganda.
Kind of
well, that's not kind of free speech, huh? Whoever is against saying something against what you're saying is spreading propaganda. That's free speech.
Let's bring in Mark Dankoff. Switch gears a little bit here. Mark Dankoff, Iran's former minister, Dr. Ali Akbar Salehi. Well, he made a statement. He said, "I feel this new administration is really this time seeking to at least divert from his previous traditional approach." This regarding John Kerry's appointment and also, at this point, delayed appointment of Chuck Hagel. Now, it's interesting that Kerry has come out. He has said in a foreign policy piece, WikiLeaks, the Kerry plan for Iran, comments made 3 years ago, pursue front and back channel contacts. The U.S. seeks serious discussions and sought to create a new foundation for a relationship based on Iran's non-confrontational compliance with IAEA requirements and other mutual interests like drug running, the Taliban, and illicit trade. So are we going to be looking at this new team with Kerry now in it, maybe Chuck Hagel, that perhaps is going to open up the doors somewhat?
Who are you talking to?
I don't
to?
Think so because of the absolute control.
Go ahead, Mark Dankoff.
I don't think so because I think clearly when you look at the amount of Israeli lobby money pouring into both the Democratic and Republican parties, it becomes abundantly clear what's going on here. And it seems to me that whether we're looking at Israeli theft of Palestinian land, we're looking at the way in which the United States intervened in Iraq with invasion, using a fraudulent case for weapons of mass destruction that did not exist, whether we're looking at the real reasons why the United States intervened in Afghanistan, or we're talking about the fact that Israel, the chief so-called ally of the United States, is also a nuclear power. It is a nuclear power that is not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The Israelis are obviously the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons agent in the region. And the United States is basically saying that when it comes to the rules, quote unquote, that govern international conduct, Iran must conform to all of these international inspections. They must surrender their right to enrich uranium. They must surrender their right to self-defense, even within their own borders, while Israel can do anything that it wants to. And again, as long as you have the situation that you have with the Israeli lobby's control of both of the major political parties in the United States and the overwhelming Jewish control of the media in both the United States and in Europe, this sort of thing is going to continue. Make no mistake about it, whether it's Kerry and Hagel or some other version of this in the future, there's going to be no significant alteration of American foreign policy until the American people stand up and say that we have had enough of enforcing the Sykes-Picot Agreement. We have had enough of the Balfour Declaration. We have had enough of letting Israel and international banks and oil consortiums control the foreign policy of this country and continue to put us more deeply into debt and involve us in more military situations that do not involve the national security of the United States.
Okay.
Ambassador.
Very well. Well, George Lambrakis, what are your thoughts on, well, in particular, Chuck Hagel? And I'd like to come in with that by Chuck Hagel's statements. One, denouncing proposed sanctions on Iran at one point, that they isolate the U.S., also a military strike against that, and only one of 12 senators who refused to sign a letter asking the EU to declare Hezbollah a terrorist organization.
I think the message that Iran should take from all of this is that individuals
a reaction
don't count
to Chuck
as
Hagel
much
first.
As the government.
Please, if you can.
But I'm sorry?
A reaction to Chuck Hagel.
Chuck Hagel? Well, what about Chuck Hagel? He's going to be the new defense secretary. That doesn't change the policy of the United States, does it? It does help. He seems to be well disposed towards discussion with the Iranian government. And I think, as I've said before, that you need to build a degree of trust to be able to talk without accusing each other all the time, even while you are trying to talk.
Okay, give us one example
of
that, if you can, please.
Well, I think that if you are going to believe my previous fellow American, who has brought out a number of facts about the Middle East, but those facts don't really relate to this issue. If you're going to just make American policy described by that, and also by the other speaker from Iran, I mean, I've been in the Middle East. I've worked in the Middle East all over. I've been in Iran. I've served there. I've served in other countries in the Middle East. I know how to approach this thing a little bit besides attacking each other all the time. There is a real danger in the world, not just for the Americans, not just for Israel, but for the whole Middle East, if the Iranian government goes ahead to produce a nuclear weapon. If the Iranian government is reckless enough to think that by going so far and maybe even inviting an attack, it somehow will get support from all patriotic Iranians, that is a pretty reckless gamble to take when it could be a lot easier to make a proper agreement that allows Iran to continue on its way as long as it's not bothering any of its neighbors.
You talk about a proper agreement, George Lambrakis. Hamid Razanbadi, tell us, wasn't it in Russia that the sincerity was displayed by the U.S. in terms of the so-called P5 plus one? What was it that they offered in return?
I think
it was some spare parts for airplanes. Perhaps you can tell us more. Is that a show of sincerity?
Yeah, well, actually, this P5 plus one, so-called P5 plus one, permanent members of this U.N. Security Council plus Germany, the offer of direct talks by Joseph Biden and the fact that Iran and the P5 plus one are going to hold another round of negotiations in Kazakhstan, just these two, when you put them together, you see that the U.S. is trying somehow to bypass the P5 plus one. So the U.S. has realized that the P5 plus one talks with Iran have not achieved anything. So the U.S. wants to do it itself, wants to have some bilateral talks with Iran. So in essence, the U.S. is bypassing P5 plus one. It is telling Russia, China, and those other countries, and even its European allies, that you haven't been able to do anything. So we're going to be there to talk to Iran. But as long as these talks are not going to produce anything, these talks are just for talk's sake, for the U.S. to tell the world that, yes, we did manage to take Iran to the negotiating table. As long as the talks are not going to produce any results, Iran won't participate in such talks. And it's been proven in the past. You've seen there have been a lot of these kind of talks between Iran and the P5 plus one. Nothing has been achieved. One more point, which is very important, is the fact that America, this latest round of sanctions a couple of days ago, America is shooting itself in the foot. As we speak, crude oil prices have reached their 5-month peak. What does that tell you? America imposes oil sanctions on Iran, and oil prices keep going up. So the U.S. policy of trying somehow to create pressure, to exert pressure on Iran, and keep the oil prices at a safe range, it has failed. America is also creating problems for the Americans. By imposing sanctions on Iran, the U.S. is creating problems for the Americans, for the Europeans. So this is another point that is very important.
Do you want to hear anything
Go ahead.
Or do you just want to keep talking?
Go ahead. Feel free to jump in.
You just like to keep talking.
Feel free to jump in.
Is that all you can do is talk? Let me hear you talk some more, whatever you want to say, because basically you're not talking about the issue we're talking about here. You're just making speeches about how terrible everybody else is, whereas we're trying to get to some of the facts behind the situation. All you want to do is talk and talk and talk, I hope you're not going to be in the negotiation with the Americans, because
yeah, Americans are very good at negotiations. That's why they attack other countries, they kill innocent children. That's the UN report yesterday that Americans have killed a lot of children in Afghanistan. That's why America is very good at negotiating. They negotiate with other countries.
Yes, and Iranians have risen against their government.
They negotiate with other countries.
And Iranians have risen against their government.
The history is quite clear.
Is that what you want to also talk about? What I would like to explain to you is that the one-on-one negotiation which the Americans are prepared to do is not something the Americans want to force on Iran. It's reacting to the belief that the Iranians want that kind of a one-on-one meeting so that they can get some kind of a direct reassurance from the Americans that the Americans will not do more than what they say they will. And that takes a degree of sincerity. It takes a degree of to stop talking nonsense, as you have been for about 15 minutes now, running at the end of this discussion.
The viewer can judge.
What you should talk about is the negotiations that are coming up. I thought that's what the situation was about.
George Lambrakis. I don't quite follow what you meant when you said, so the Americans won't do more. Is that the threat that they have always put on the table, the all options on the table
that
threat?
We've
got to give
Iranian
you some floor time. Mark Dankoff, the issue of the strategy
once?
With the threats. Please tell
who's
going to be the one
once?
Breaking this stalemate? Obviously, we're not seeing the signs coming from the U.S.
I'm afraid that you are
Mark
unable
Dankoff,
to speak
please.
Simply.
George Lambrakis, we're going to come back to you.
Okay, what I'm trying to tell you is that this problem is not going
to
be solved.
Well, you're the one who doesn't allow other people to speak.
Mark Dankoff, go ahead.
Let me simply say this to the American ambassador. He uses the word reckless in describing the policy of Iran. I'd like to say, as a patriotic American who believes in the United States Constitution, that it's absolutely reckless that the United States continues to be dragged around by the nose by a Zionist regime that has given us the bombing of the King David Hotel, the attack on the United States in Egypt in 1954, courtesy of the Levant Affair, that has given us Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, its deliberate attack, according to Dean Rusk, in 1967, that killed American citizens, and has given us the Pollard spy case, the IPAC spy case, and, to quote Dr. Alan Sabrowski of the U.S. Army's National War College, 9/11 was an Israeli Mossad operation, 100%, period.
Very well.
I'd like to jump in quickly, if I may, Mark Dankoff, because I'm tired of them continuing to use American money and American lives to destroy this country and the lives of other people around.
To find out what some of the viewers have said on our Facebook page regarding this. If we can run that, looking at comments number one at this point, if we can hone in on that, of which we had Salik Abbas, who's a viewer, who has said, offering talks and imposing more sanctions, how can the U.S. be serious? Looking at the second comment, just a smokescreen, the Americans are not interested in peace. They have other pressing concerns, like a belligerent pro-Israeli lobby in the Senate who wants further wars in the name of protection of Israel. Obama is under pressure, so I don't take this peace offering seriously. In closing, Hamid Reza Ahmadi.
Well, the situation in the Middle East and the talks that the United States is offering and the pressure and the United States is exerting on the Iranian nation, these are the things that some facts that are very much clear to the audience. People can judge for themselves. People can see how the people of Afghanistan and Iraq have been suffering over the past several years. And people in Pakistan, the drone attacks by the United States. And the U.S. has not shown any kind of good intentions to the people in this part of the world. So there is every reason for Iran and many other people in the world to doubt America's sincerity.
Very well. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Percy Samadios Ahmadi, with his comments there here in the studios. We also had political commentator Mark Danko from San Antonio. And thank you very much. Former U.S. diplomat George Lambrakis made his comments from London. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitafa and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.